Thank you very much, Andy. Andy McGowan, he's been a great job leading our song service. And step right up there with Lynn, and they're doing a fantastic job, and we really appreciate it. You know, only thing is, yeah, huh? Yeah, that was a true story about the detective. Yeah, it really happened. You know, and I'm glad he told that one. There's some other ones you could have told that would, you know, but that's a good one. That's a good one to start with anyway. And I'm just bummed out that he beat me to the punch and expressing gratitude for my wife because I have obviously immense gratitude for what she's done. I mean, the whole family really, you know, I mean, just to come in out of the blue and say, guess what? What? God's called us to a totally different geographic location. And I'm the guy who gets, you know, all the enjoyment and fulfillment out of the gift. But they're the ones that have to totally decide that their life's going to change irrevocably from here forward. Saying goodbye to family, saying goodbye to friends. And they have been solid warriors behind my back. Not behind, that sounds wrong. Protecting my back and making sure that this thing is going smoothly. And so I just want to thank you, Roberta, Hannah, Jack, who's in the prep school, very much for your willingness to, for your love for me, and but especially your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. As we start out, you know, it's kind of funny. When Pastor and I teach together, what happens a lot of times is that he'll listen to me teach, and it'll spark something. I'll listen to him teach, and it'll spark something. All of a sudden, you're going to see this going on with us kind of weaving through each other's messages. And that's a little bit's going to happen tonight, especially at the beginning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. How's the sound? Am I sounding all right? See now, with Pastor McLaughlin behind me, I especially want to make sure I sound good, because this guy is a musician, you know. He doesn't, in his humility, he doesn't do it much anymore, but he's a musician, and he has a great ear for good sound. And so I'm going to make sure it all sounds good when he's behind me. But then again, I got Mark in the back, who's also pretty good at it. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling. There is one body, that's the body of Christ, the church. And tonight I want to begin in thinking about the church and what it means to us, a little bit kind of a different way. I want to begin by just asking you to think about a fill in the blank, and it's a really simple one, and it's on the board. Ultimately, in my life, I need fill in the blank. Ultimately, in my life, I need fill in the blank. Now, some of you are going to get goofy and trivial and put things like $1 million or a Lamborghini or a beautiful trophy babe or something like that. But once you get past that and get serious and down to business about ultimately in my life, what is it that I need? Let me give you some of the most meaningful answers that people give to this question, particularly young people. When they're asked to look at their life and see how their life is and what it could be, and they answer that question or that fill in the blank. Ultimately, in my life, I need blank. For example, I need to be a part, this is what young people will say, I need to be a part of something bigger than myself. And when they don't get what the Lord has for them to fulfill this need, they'll go another direction. That's why we have gangs in this country, for example. Because there's a desire for us to be part of something bigger than ourselves. Or how about this one? For my life to have meant something to someone when I die. For my life to have meant something to someone when I die. Wrong solution? Getting pregnant when you're 15 years old. But there's a right solution in the plan of God for that one. My life to have meant something to someone when I die. Or this one. To have a future that is better than today. To have a future that is better than today. Or how about this one? To have been an invaluable member of a team. To have been an invaluable member of a team. This one's a popular one. I need to fall in love. And we make fun of that a lot, right? But you know what? That's a real need that people have. And it's not just romantic love. Sometimes it's just the love of a friendship or love of a partnership. I need to fall in love. I want to be in love with somebody. or this one, to find my place in this world and fit in. A lot of young people will say that. I don't know where I belong yet. I want to find my place and I want to fit in there. Or how about this one? To be comfortable in my skin, to finally be at peace with who I am. That's what I need more than anything else. Or this one. By the way, you don't have to write all these down. This is just to give you a sense. What is it when people really ask and answer that question? Particularly young people, because they're looking forward to their lives and they're thinking about what really matters and what needs they really have. This one. To get rid of all this guilt and shame I still have. I really need a fresh start. Or how about that one? Real simple. Like Pastor was saying, the simplest things are the most profound. If we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us say, I need to be taken care of. In this world that beats me up in so many ways, I need a place where I can go and be taken care of. Or how about this one? To be accepted and loved unconditionally. You know how rare that is, by the way? You know how much of a need that is that we all have? To be accepted and loved unconditionally. Have somewhere, somehow in our lives where there's a person we can go to and we know no matter what. And this is especially important after your mother's died. Because if there's one place where a lot of people can get that, it's their mama. But to be accepted and loved unconditionally. What do I really need ultimately in this life? Or how about this one? To know and fulfill my destiny, the reason I was born. If we're honest with ourselves, we have that need inside of ourselves. Somewhere, somehow, to fulfill. I know I was born for a reason, but I want to know what it is, and I want to fulfill it. Or how about this one? To be able to respect myself. You know how many people don't respect themselves? And it's the cause of so many problems, so many difficulties, so much sadness, so much addiction, so much problems with other people. It all starts with they don't respect themselves. And if I could just get to the point where I can have that need met, my life would be totally different. Or how about this one? To step outside of all the restraints I see in my life. The handicaps, whether I was born with them or I've put them on myself by the way I've lived, or the faults that I see in myself. Or how about the restraint of the financial limitations? I could do so much for people if I had those removed, or the social inhibitions. I just don't feel right around people. And if I could just get out of that sense of always concentrating on myself, I could do it. You know that in the Bible it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled by the Holy Spirit, or with the Holy Spirit. Do not. Do you know that there was one of the wisest men ever? They asked him, they says, why do you drink? He says, it's not what you think. He says, it's not so that I can have a great time. He says, for a little while, I can disappear from myself. When we're focused on our restraints and difficulties and handicaps and faults, it's a tremendous burden. We would want so much to be able to step outside of those kind of things. Or how about this one? To find my soulmate. And it's not just romantic love. It's just somebody in this world that I click with. That there's something about us that's in common. And we think the same way. We have the same mind. We have the same purpose. Or how about this one? To be forgiven for my past mistakes. Or how about this? Real simple. Real profound. Like Pastor said, the simplest things are the most profound. Really what I need is to be a hero. If I could be a hero, my life would be okay. And then, of course, that leads to this one. If we're honest with ourselves, we're searching for an answer to death, to somehow overcome the ultimate fear that we have in life and be immortal. Well, that's not everybody's list. That may not be what you wrote down, but those are the kind of answers that people give, particularly young people, to that question. Ultimately in my life, what do I need? Now, the thing about this list is when you boil it all down, there are really about four basic kinds of needs we have when it comes to the ultimate point in our lives. Now, let me just kind of put these on the board so you can get a sense of it. There's about four of them. One, we want to be made good. Several of the things that people talk about, to be forgiven, to have the guilt and shame removed, to have respect for myself. We want to be made good. We want to have total peace and total well-being. We want to be a hero. We want to step outside the constraints. We want our life to matter. We want to have a destiny and know what it is and live in it. And then we want to merge with others in an intimate relationship. So many of the things had to do with that, the soulmate and fall in love and being a member of the team and being accepted and loved unconditionally and those kind of things. We want to merge with others in an intimate relationship. And then finally, we want to outlast death. I said, if you notice what people do when they have a lot of money and resources and power, they start doing things that make them think like they're immortal, like putting a name on a building, for example. Put your name on a building and somehow you have the sense that even when I die, my name is still going to be on that building. It's a desire that we all have to have something that outlives us, to outlast our death. Well, you know, when you look at that list in a way, we want the impossible, don't we? That's the problem with being human. We really, when we're honest with ourselves, we want the impossible. We do. We want to lose our isolation, merging with other people, finding a soulmate, being part of a team, and yet we want to keep it at the same time. I mean, I'm only half being funny about this. Sometimes we want to be Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest. I'm just, look at me, I'm doing everything I want. Yeah. But then again, other times, I don't know, you know if you know who this guy is, but when his name is Rodney King. If you're old enough to remember the riots in L.A. after the verdict in the court case, he just got up there one day and missed this and he said, can't we all just get along? Sometimes we want to be Muhammad Ali and just striving the ultimate we were supposed to be. But other times it's the Rodney King effect where I need to be part of somebody else. Let's just all get along. So these are the needs that we have to be made good, to be modeled, to be a hero. We want to merge with others in an intimate relationship. And we want to outlast death. You know what's interesting about this list too, though? It's so simple, and it misses so many people miss this. But you know what? There's two things on this list that we can't do without God. What am I talking about? We can never be made good unless God makes us good. That's the story of the human race. Yes, we know it doctrinally. We understand that we're born sinners, that we're born spiritually dead. But I'm just talking about the average person on the street when they say, you know, I want to get rid of my guilt and shame. Well, without God, good luck. Good luck. Why am I saying that? Because what you're saying is that you want somebody who's totally objectively good to come on the scene and say, so are you. And the only one who matches that description is God. And the last one is the same thing. The only one that can step in here and really make sure we outlast death is the one who's eternal life, and that's God. And what's interesting about the first and the last one, though, is that do you realize that these are things that mankind strives for, that people their whole lives are focused on trying to do these things. Somebody who does something horrible early in life, and the rest of their life, they're just trying to work things out so that they can make it up to people. To somehow, like Sally Fields when she's getting the Oscar, say, they like me. They really like me. They worked their whole lives for that. To be really have a sense of well-being. I'm really good. I'm okay. And then to outlast death. Forget about it. I'm going to talk about it in class sometimes, how our whole healthcare system, the thing that we're spending billions and trillions of dollars on, is to somehow kid ourselves that we can do that by ourselves, and we can't. But all we need is God to come on the scene and have this really simple answer to that called resurrection. And the amazing thing is about the first and the last one is that do you realize that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you already have those two things. That at the moment of salvation, Pastor talked about justification. At the moment of salvation, you were declared by God in heaven to be perfectly righteous, credited to your account. And at that same moment of salvation, you were also credited with something called eternal life. We get so familiar with these things. We can't. We shouldn't. Step outside yourself for a minute and even step into yourself, the part of you that just has these needs sitting there, and realize that the human race desperately needs these things. And it's impossible for the human race to create it. And yet God, through his Son and his work on the cross, comes on the scene and does these things for us. And like Pastor said, realize what it is that he's provided for you. And that we all have in common. Our unity, as Pastor said, is based on God's strength and the things that God has done. Now, the other thing about this is that a lot of what we really want out of life ultimately involves other people. And we don't want to be, we're uncomfortable with that. But when we want to be loved, when we want to find our place in this world, when we want to be a member of a team, and we want to be able to find your soulmate, and we want to be forgiven, it all involves other people. in our lives. And yet what happens? Pastor talked about it this morning. You know, so many of us too often reach a point where we get disappointed with people. The needs don't go away, of course. We still want to be loved unconditionally. We still want relationship. We want friendship. We want teamwork. But we've been disappointed by people enough so that we just think we'll never have those needs that involve other people met. And whether we realize it or not, we said that to ourselves. This is never going to happen. I'm never going to find this kind of connection. I'm never going to have that kind of friendship. So, okay, I'll just go and live my miserable life in the desperation that comes from saying a basic need can't be met, and that's that. And I'm not just talking about unbelievers here. I'm talking about believers who don't understand what it is that God has accomplished by this thing called unity and this thing called the Church of Jesus Christ. So instead, we give up and we turn inward. We shut down and we protect ourselves because we don't want to be hurt again. But God has found a way to meet all four of these needs. I've just told you how he did the two of them, the first and the last. Just declaring you perfectly righteous. I know you got a problem with shame. I know you got a problem with guilt. I know you blow it. I know there's people in your life who put you down. Too bad, because this is what I'm going to do. By believing in my son, I'm crediting you with perfect righteousness. Game over. So now every time you wake up and you have any of those issues with guilt and shame and not respecting yourself, go back to the cross, go back to the doctrine, and apply it once again to your state of mind and say, I've already been declared good by the only one who really knows. That's the funny thing. Most of the people in our lives that want to put us down and attack us, think about their life. Think about their standards when they're judging you and say, do they really know? Do they really know, like Pastor said, the essence of God? Do they really understand what perfect righteousness even is, or justice, or love, or grace? And if they don't, why the heck do you care what they think? The one who only one who matters, God the Father, has, if you're a believer in Christ, has declared you perfectly righteous forever. Forever. Basic need met. And again, outlasting death. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You go to funerals and you look at people that are weeping over their loved ones, and you understand that we are headed towards the grave or the rapture, one or the other, but that you have a God who has solved the basic problem of humanity, which is death. And what happens on the other side of that? And he's declared you to have and given you eternal life. And you know the doctrine that you're going to get a resurrection body one day. Well, that's a great start. But please understand that he wants to meet the other two needs as well. He wants you to be a hero. We talk about it as an invisible hero. But he wants you to be a hero. And not only does he want you to be a hero, he's made you to be a hero already. Already, he's given you a spiritual gift, and he said, I've already prepared the walk ahead of time that I want you to walk in. Just as Pastor said, walk in a manner worthy of it now. Understand the real power sources and live that way. And he also, importantly, wants this last one. Large respect, the most difficult one, if we're honest with ourselves. The most difficult one is to be open and vulnerable to people and say, and admitting I need a relationship with other people. And it could hurt once again. But now I understand that my Father, my God, also wants this for me. And not only that, and if we get that far tonight, not only does he want it for me, but somehow he has found the way to glorify himself through his means for meeting the basic need that we have. What a God. He says, not only am I going to meet this need for this my people, but that's going to glorify me when I come on the scene and do it. And a big part of the whole solution is the Church of Jesus Christ, the body in Ephesians chapter 4. There's one body. Because other than that, let me tell you something. The world we are in is a mess. And Jesus Christ is right. Well, he always is. When he said, in this world, wherever we go, we're going to find trouble. If we think that we're going to meet our basic needs through the world and the world's ways, we're kidding ourselves. A guy in Ireland was stopped on a corner. Are you Catholic or Protestant? Sir, I am an atheist. Protestant atheist or Catholic atheist? You look at the human race and all you see is conflict everywhere you look. And the worst of all is religious strife and warfare. I got to put a little cartoon on the... Wait, where is it? Oh, yeah, there's the other one. I forgot about Richard Gere. I'll talk about him later. I love this cartoon. I saw this the other day. A Calvinist and an Arminian square off. Here's a Calvinist. You know, I'm starting to feel like it's meant for me to deck you. The Arminian. Oh, yeah? Well, whatever you choose to do, buddy. I don't mind. I study all day long. I study all night long. But religious strife and warfare is the worst. And in the midst of this, this conflict, it is very tempting to throw in the towel. Resign yourself that you're powerless in the face of all this evil and conflict. And so it is time to go dive into the good news of what God has done about it. Because as a church-age believer, if you ever think you don't matter, read the book of Ephesians. And right now, in the interest of time, I'm giving you the cliff notes. The book. You ready? It's all right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. You can follow along with me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. We'll be in the book of Ephesians, so it'll be easy to get to these passages. We're going to go about another 15 or 20 minutes. You see, sometimes it's good to go and look about what life is like without the Lord, without the truth of the Word of God, and get grounded again in just how fantastic the things are that He's done for us. Ephesians 3:10. So that the manifold or many-faceted wisdom of God might be made known. And just notice the next three words for me. I never get you through the church. Through what? The body. The one body. Members one of another. United. All having the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same Father. God said, I know that they have a need to have that relationship with one another and that intimacy. And that's so important to me, God said, that I am now going to make my many-faceted, the word is used in the ancient Greek for a garland of flowers of who God is. I'm going to have this flowering thing called the church that I'm going to use their unity, their love for one another, their understanding of sacrifice for one another, their understanding that they've all been given a spiritual gift, that we all need each other. I'm going to use that, the unity of the church, to broadcast to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places my glory, my greatness, my many-faceted wisdom. The unity that we're studying in this conference of the church, the unity of the church, is the means by which the many-faceted wisdom of God is being displayed to the universe. Again, the unity, think about this with me, because this comes down to your daily life among the other members of the royal family. And that how it is that the visible part of God's unity in the church is the way in which we treat each other. And that is the means by which God is broadcasting to the universe His wisdom. Think about that. The unity of the church. Please go back to chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. You don't think your life matters? You don't understand that God has been at work, first of all, through His Son on the cross, and now in the church, in reconciling all things to Himself through Christ. And that work is going on right now. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him. And He seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. Why did He do that? Why was it that when we were dead, He made us alive, becoming born again and saved? And then He raised us up with Christ. And He's seating us with Him in the heavenly places. Verse 7 says, so that, here's the reason why. In the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us, in Christ Jesus. God has designed the church to be the masterpiece of His grace, the masterpiece of His goodness, the pattern on which the reconciled universe of the future will be reconciled. Let me just say that again. God has designed the church, and the visible part of the church is the congregation, to be the masterpiece of His goodness, the masterpiece of His grace, and the pattern on which the reconciled universe of the future will be reconciled. What does that mean? Well, how's He going to do it? If you're God and you've had this great disaster called the fall of the angels and the fall of man, and it ripped apart the fabric of the universe, and it all had to do with disunity, ultimately. What Satan really did was to break apart the unity in all that God had created. And he's been ripping things apart ever since. He ripped the woman away from the man. He ripped the human race away from the Lord. He's always about division and separation and breaking things up. And God came on the scene and he said, I've had enough of that. I'm now at work. I got the ball now. And now the ball's going to Jesus Christ on the cross. And at the cross, Jesus Christ paid the price for the sins of the world. But in some mysterious way, he also won the strategic victory in what's called the angelic conflict. And now the tide has turned. The momentum is going the other way. Where's it going? Well, if Satan's momentum was all about going to disunity and breaking things up and ripping things apart, what direction do you think God's taking the ball right now? He's going back to, as Pastor taught about tonight, restoration, reconciliation. Jesus Christ is death on the cross means that God is reconciling all things to himself through the work of Christ on the cross. The whole thing is unity. When you come right down to it, he's trying to restore what was lost. Well, what happened? Things were disunited. They were broken apart. And now he's on the scene putting things back together again. Why is it that he spends all this time in the book of Ephesians talking about marriage of all things? Because he knows that that's one of the places where the love of God and the graces and the truth from God's word have to be used and on display in order for a man and a woman to live out the calling that the Christian man and woman have. Why? Because that's who God is. God's heartbeat is unity, bringing things back together. As Pastor said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmate suitable for him. I want there to be unity among in these relationships that the human race has, so much so that he's using the church to illustrate who he is, his character and nature. The unity he's now restoring and will one day restore throughout the universe. I mean, think about it. There's passages in the Word of God that say that the angels want us to have a glimpse of what's going on in the local congregation. And why is that? Well, maybe it's because, you see, we're the place where God is at work now in this great work of restoration, of healing things, of putting things back together. And they know that one day what he's doing now with the church, he's going to turn around and do for the whole universe. And it's going to be filled with the fullness of God, the essence of God. And the essence of God is his integrity and his unity. Ultimately, that's what holds the Trinity together. And that's three persons in one essence. A fantastic picture of unity. So believers are expected to live in a manner consistent with this divine purpose. I want you to look back at chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Look at Ephesians 1:8. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will. What was it? According to the kind intention which he purposed in Christ, with a view to an administration or a dispensation suitable to the fullness of the times. That's the church age. Okay, yes, but you said that you wanted to make known to us the mystery of your will. What is it? What is it? I'm getting to it. It's in verse 10. That is, good, tell me, the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heavens and things on the earth. It's simple, but it's profound. What it is, the mystery of God's will is to come on the scene and put things back together. Put Humpty Dumpty back together again. All the king's horses, all the world's solutions, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. But the work of Christ on the cross, God comes on the scene now and he's saying that has unleashed an amazing power in the universe. And I'm taking that now. And my work during the church age is this. I'm summing up or putting together or having this unified place where I'm putting things back together again. Man and woman and the body of Christ is going to come back together. That's my first project after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show the universe what it means to sum up all things in Christ by first having my church show it. What do you mean? I mean that we're members one of another. I mean that we're all different, as Pastor said tonight, but we have a unified way of thinking. I'm going to give you all a different spiritual gift, God said. And it's going to be a secret weapon for you guys to build one another up on a day in and day out basis. And that is so marvelous that that is what he's using. He's made known to us, the church, the mystery of his will, which is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. The point is, the church is the place where God is at work on his project. It's his project after all. He said, I'm on the scene summing up all things in Christ. That's my great project. That's the mystery of who I am. That's the mystery of my will that I'm now making known. And he's doing that. He's at work right now in this dispensation with the church. With the church. How can you say that your life doesn't matter? How can you say that you don't have a purpose and a calling and a destiny? Oh, I know. I know when you see this and you hear this, you might think to yourself, the church, preposterous. Look at her. All the fights, all the problems, all the pettiness, all the divisions, all the apostasy. You know, we're worried that the pivot is disappearing. That church, that's the place where God's working. That's his beautiful project of showing his grace. Yep. Because in Ephesians 1:10, it says that God has established a dispensation suitable for this purpose, the project of summing up all things in Christ. That's now. That's church age. And if it's not the church, I got a really simple question for you. If God is not at work in the church doing this right now, then where exactly is he at work doing it? Is it the world? Is it nature? That's a mess. Is it the angelic realm? No, we know that the heightened phase of the conflict is going on in the angelic realm. That's not where he's doing it. Is it the human race? Is it the nation of Israel? If he's not at work in the church summing up all things in Christ, then you tell me, where is he at work doing it? No. It's one place. It's in the church. It's in the members of the body of Christ. And think about it. What has he done? He's done amazing things. We saw about it this morning. He's given us these seven things of unity that are in Ephesians 4:4-6. One body, one spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one Bible, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in all. And what else? Through all. God, just think about it. It's the easiest thing, the most simple things and the most profound. God said, I'm working through all of you if you let me. Doing what? He told us, the great project. Summon things up, putting the unity back into the universe. And I'm starting with the church. That's my grand masterpiece. Not many wise, not many noble, spiritually dead at birth, totally helpless, all by means of grace. That's the place of, as Pastor said, maximum impact in production. Your life doesn't matter. You don't think God has a solution. You don't. Now that you understand that the thing that's most important to God among all things now, which is glorifying his Son and summing everything up in him, and that he's taking relationships in the local assembly as the place where he's demonstrating to the maximum that power, that heartbeat. You don't have a purpose anymore? You don't think it matters the way we treat one another? Of course it does. You have a unique spiritual gift. The congregation. Look, let me just say it this way. The church is the place where God is at work on his great reconciling project of Ephesians 1:10. And not only that, because you can say, yeah, that's the church universal. That's Martin Luther and Calvin. They're all up in heaven now, and I know they're all great. No, but you don't understand something. You see, in addition to it being the church as the place, it's the congregation on earth now where the unity of the body becomes visible. Visible, so that creatures and angels can actually see what's going on. You still think you don't matter? Still think your life doesn't have a purpose? You see, here's the bottom line. It's real simple. We'll close here. Since God's project is summing up all things in Christ, and the church is the place where he's at work in this great reconciling project, and the congregation is the place where the unity of the body becomes visible, guess what? If you're a believer in Christ, you're a member of the congregation. You're where the action is. You're where things are happening, where God is revealing this many-faceted wisdom to the universe. Not only that, but But you have the secret weapon that's been given to you. Your unique spiritual gift is God's secret weapon for maintaining the unity in the congregation. And that's what he's done for you. He's given you perfect righteousness. He's given you eternal life. And then he's turned to you and said, I'm going to give you a spiritual gift, which is a supernatural manifestation, hero, invisible hero. And then what's it for? It's for building up and edifying the local assembly. It's for you to be able to come in and have a sense of respect because of who God has made you to be. And know, because of what God has done, that you're going to have an impact when you live in that. When you walk worthy of the manner in which you've been called. It's all by the grace of God. It's all by means of faith. But it's real. You've been given a spiritual gift that makes you a hero and allows you to have these fantastic relationships one with another, because what you have, I need. What I have, you need. We're incomplete without each other. We're members one of another. When somebody's crying, we're all crying. When somebody's laughing, we're all laughing. He has done it. He has given us the solution to the problems of our lives, the needs that we have, especially when it comes to relationships. And it's by means of the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual gift that we can live in these things. And when we do that with the same mind, being fed by God's Word, fed by the Spirit, and we're all operating in our spiritual gifts, we're making God's great project visible. Still think you don't matter? 1 Corinthians 12:7. But to each one is given the manifestation. What is that? What the pastor talked about tonight. The Shekinah glory being made visible so that people can see what God's about. The manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have a unique spiritual gift, and that is God's secret weapon for maintaining unity in the congregation. And when there's unity in the congregation, it means that the church is fulfilling its purpose. And the purpose of the church is to manifest the glory of God in his great project of summing up all things in Christ. You matter. And it's all by means of grace. And it's just a matter of you discovering what God has done for you and making the decision to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, learn the word of God, apply it to your life, and watch what God does in your life in terms of understanding the sense of heroship that you'll have when you're living in your spiritual gift. And also watching the kind of relationships that he builds, members one of the other, when we do it his way. And we understand that eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard the way in which he wants to meet those needs of you mattering and of you having fantastic relationships. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight for this opportunity to go to your word and see how it meets all our needs, to understand the great strength that you have provided the church and your project for the church age, and glorifying you. And Father, we just ask now that God the Holy Spirit mentor us as individuals and show us the ways in which we are right at a crossroads now and making a decision in our lives that's going to have an impact. And it's just a matter of whether we are faithful and humble to your word or whether we get arrogant and petty and neglect the things that you've given us as an opportunity to live in. We just ask for the mentorship of the Spirit so that we can see the issues clearly. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. At this time, I would like to invite forward Deacon Steve Pomeroy, who is now going to take our offering tonight.
Thank you. Wow, what a tag team, huh? Well, I want to tell you that those 16 things that we need, you can get every one of them right here at Lighthouse Bible Church on Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday mornings, right? Absolutely. This is what we get every week, and it sure is a blessing. Right, guys? Okay. Well, as most of you know, Lighthouse Bible Church is a grace ministry. We never beg for money. As a matter of fact, we don't even generally take a collection here. We just have a little box in the back that if anybody's motivated to give, they certainly can do so. Or send it in the mail. So we believe giving is a blessing to the giver and glorifies our Lord, and is a privilege that God has given to the believer in the church age. As Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Father, we praise you for your many wonders. We thank you for our wonderful Lighthouse Bible Church. We thank you for the opportunity of having this conference. And we pray that this offering will glorify you alone and that you will bless the givers. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
All right, let's close in prayer. And as we do, let's just take a moment. As I mentioned to you, I never take for granted that everybody who's listening to this message is a believer in Christ. And this is our opportunity to realize that we're here as ambassadors to reach out. As Pastor said, that we're not content to just stay in our little box, but we're reaching out to people that need to hear the truth that sets them free. And if there's anybody within the sound of my voice right now who has not believed in Jesus Christ and is therefore without hope, I'm here to tell you that God loves you with a very precious love. He loves you so much that he sent the most precious person he has, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die spiritual death so that you could be set free and live and have eternal life and live with God forever. And it's so simple. It's so simple just understanding the truth that you're a sinner, that God's provided the Savior, it's his precious son, Jesus Christ. And by believing in him, you won't perish, but you'll live forever. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And Father, we know your word does not come back to you empty. And that somewhere now there is someone who is believing on Christ because of the truth of the gospel. And whoever those people are, we celebrate with you and the angels. And we ask for the mentorship of the Spirit for all of us so that we continue to not lose track, not lose sight, not lose our way, but to continue to go and find the teaching ministry of the pastor we've been assigned to, grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son. We ask this in his name, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. You're dismissed, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. We'll go with start at 10.
Ain't nothing I can say, nothing I can do. I feel so bad.